Capital Program, Friday, January the 15th, Mr. Blackthorpe speaking.
Gather thy sheep, O God. Search us out and find us, and claim us as thine own. Be patient with us, O God, when we move so slowly. Be patient with us when we are so restless and would run ahead. Be thou the shepherd of our thoughts, of our emotions, of our wills, of our lives. And lead us in this hour to a green pasture and rest us beside a still water. Let us behold thy majesty and thy glory. For in thy holiness and in thy righteousness and in thy love do we find ourselves, our being, our way. So come, O Holy Spirit, in his name. We pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 1. seated. We now turn in the back of our hymnals to responsive reading selection number 15. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. May we hear further the reading of God's word. First, as it is written in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And then the words of our Lord, from the Gospel according to St. Luke. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then from the Gospel of St. John. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who owns the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. May God bless to our need this reading of his word. May we pray together. O Holy Shepherd, hear our cry. Wherever we be in time or place or circumstance or condition, come to us. And lift us out of our sinfulness, out of our despair, out of our failures, into thy holy being, to be claimed, to be made whole, to be healed, and to be restored. O God, our Father, forgive us of our wayward ways. Forgive us of our lack of faith. Forgive us for our rebellion. Forgive us for every way that has displeased thee and grieved thee. And let us be what thou would have us be. Let us do the task for which thou hast created us. Let us find ourselves and be found of thee to fulfill thy will and purpose for us. For in thee, O God, is life, and without thee there is no living. There is no coming nor going. There is no being. O God, we thank thee thou hast called us to this place. We thank thee for these months and years of study and training. We thank thee for the grace thou hast given to us to answer thy call. Be thou the shepherd of these years, and in our study, and in our seeking, and in our training, be thou our guide. May we never lose sight of the eternal purposes for which thou hast made us, and for which we have come to this place, that we may always call this place blessed. For here may heaven and earth meet, and may here we come to know thee as a living God, as our Lord and Master and Savior. We thank thee, O God, for all who share in the work of this school. We thank thee for the gifts that have been made and the prayers that have been offered and the labors that have been done that it might be. And we pray we may be worthy of the trust committed to us. Be with our president. Thou knowest the burdens and the problems that he carries. Give unto him the grace that he needs, the strength, the faith, and all that will make him adequate for these things. And Lord, we pray for the faculty members. Thou knowest their problems too. Thou knowest their responsibilities and burdens. Strengthen them and cause them to rejoice in thy service. Make them fit vessels of thine eternal truths, that through them many may come to know thee better and be moved to serve thee more worthily. And Lord, we pray for the students. Thou knowest the problems and the burdens, the doubts, the fears of each life. Be thou their shepherd, to guide them and protect them in the going and the coming, in every adventure of thought, in every searching out of spirit, and lead them in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. And for us all, O God, be merciful to us, remembering that though our spirits long for thee, our feet are of clay, and we have earthly parts. Be thou merciful to strengthen us in the time of trial, in the hour of temptation. Be thou our protector and defender. Be thou the tender shepherd, O God, to lead us through all of life and bring us home at last to thee. For in Jesus' name we pray. One of the tenderest pictures we have of God is that of a shepherd. This is one of the favorites of all people and of all times and of all ages. In the war years, we did not have to look at a man's tag or ask his particular church affiliation, but we knew that in every need, the 23rd Psalm would speak. And so in the pastorate, with the varying problems and the varying temperaments of people, yet in this psalm there was a meeting place between mine and God, between mortals and the eternal. But it's only a picture. It's a picture word. As a junior boy said, I'm not a sheep nor a goat, I'm a boy. And neither is God a man upon a Galilean or Judean hillside. He's the eternal spirit that defies all our language and all our pictures. The Bible is an oriental book. It speaks in pictures. It speaks in terse sayings. In many ways, it's different from our Western temper, We like definitions. We like argumentations. We like descriptions. But the Bible speaks directly beyond words, in picture language and in sayings that have an eternal meaning to us. And thus, in the picture of a shepherd, all language is inadequate to describe God. There is no formulation of creed that is adequate. And yet God is pleased to come to us on the level of our understanding, even to a child, and we can know him as God. And in the knowing, the concept is shattered. We go beyond the picture to the reality. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, said that perhaps this was one of the reasons or the purposes of creation, that man might have a language in which to converse with God, that he might have pictures and symbols to describe the eternal. And thus it's so. Years ago, Harry Emerson Fosdick, several decades ago, wrote a book entitled Pilgrimage to Palestine, in which he stressed the difference between the Oriental mind and the Western mind. At that time, electricity had been brought to Jerusalem, and they were quite delighted with the lights. He asked an Arab, what was electricity? And the Arab said, electricity is a long dog. Its tail is in Baghdad, its head is in Jerusalem. You twist his tail in Baghdad, and he barks in Jerusalem. That's electricity. Now, you would define it quite differently, and I would have no argument with your definition. But I doubt that I could remember it as easily as I could remember the Arab's definition. This is a picture language, and the Bible is filled with this. But we must come to the reality behind the picture and know the living and eternal God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Thus the shepherd God, and he comes to us. The Lord God comes with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Gather the little ones, the weak ones, in his arms, and lead those that are slow, gently lead them. To the green pastures, beside the still waters, through the valleys, into the straight and narrow paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, what love, oh, what care. Ours is a God who comes to us. The Hindu seeks, the Buddhist wait, the Taoist tries to find some magic way. But the God of the Judeo-Christian faith is a God who comes to man. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I let thee go, O Israel? And the good shepherd goes out into the waste places looking for his lost sheep. Yes, we talk about seeking truth. And let us earnestly do. But here is the good news. God is looking too. God is looking for us down the nights and down the days and down the arches of the years and down the labyrinthian ways of our own mind. He comes from our fleeing, from our after our dodging, after our hiding, after our lying. Oh, what our folly. Oh, what failures. Oh, what faults. What needless pain we bear. What sorrow we cause. What sins we do. But the shepherd does not force us. He does not invade us. He seeks us out. He follows us. He waits over us, grieving for us because we will not have the things that make for peace. Weeps over our Jerusalems, our Romes, our Berlins, our Birminghams. And in our pain, we cry, why? Why does God permit war and hate? Soldier, I said, would you have God make you all right and good right now? By some magic word, would you be changed into perfection? The soldier thought a while and he said, no, chaplain, I don't reckon I want it quite yet. I want to find the good and become the good. I want to choose the good for myself. That's life. And I suppose the other fellow wants it that way too. Reckon that's where all this trouble comes in our seeking. My reply, soldier, is not in our seeking is there evil, but it's to what end the seeking. When the seeking is for our purposes and our desires, there is the source of wars and fightings within and without. But peace and life is in seeking God, in seeking His way, His will, His purpose, His presence, His life. And God is not far from any of us. We may keep ourselves shut in with all the doors bolted and all the windows locked and all the blinds drawn and think ourselves secure in our darkness. But we have but to make one tiny crack in the curtain or one tiny crack in the door, and God comes pouring in to give us light. Light speaks of its creator in holding no resentment of our hardness of heart, but will freely come in when an opening is made. And so with God, one cry, one reach, one yielding, and the shepherd lifts us up into His being, into His belonging, into His becoming. And that cry might well be, the Lord be my shepherd. Well, you see, the shepherd can say the sheep are mine because I made them. I provide for them. I redeem them. But by what right has man to call God, to possess God, and to say, my shepherd? Only by allegiance, by a choosing, can God become our shepherd. You remember in the Orient, in the olden times, when there was a dispute, a question, who owned the sheep, they would take the sheep and put him in the center, and the two shepherds would stand and call. The referee would turn the sheep loose, and to whomever the sheep went, to that man the sheep belonged. Now this is a simple illustration, but my friends, does it not speak to us of our eternal choosing? Whose voice do we recognize? To whom do we go? Our age is filled with voices calling, come, come, here is life, try this, buy this, do that, go there. Do this. And the shepherd calls us, come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There must be a choosing. The ancient Jews said, we are descendants of Abraham, therefore God belongs to us. And Jesus said, not so, for you do not the things that Abraham would have you do, but you do the things of the devil. Therefore, you follow the devil and belong to the devil. And Jesus warned us not in saying, Lord, Lord, that we shall have eternal life, but in obeying Him, in hearing His voice and following Him, and doing the things He would have us do. Now, if we are going to follow someone, we must know in what direction that person's going. And the New Testament points the direction that God goes. Dr. William Manson of New College in Edinburgh used to tell us that the Bible, with all its searching lights, is not a beam by which we can follow absolutely. The way is not lit all the way home. But he said the Bible furnishes us guidelines as in a harbor. And we can go from one to the other and find the direction of God's movement. We must get in the way that God is going. This is the commitment, the choosing, the surrender, the confession, the decision. Whom are we to follow? Who will be our master? Who will be our shepherd? And a third, my friend, we must move in the direction that God is moving in. We may not go as fast, we may run too fast. However slow, however faulting, however uncertain, nevertheless, we must move in God's will and God's way to God's purpose. There are many questions and issues in our time that we know not the answer of. But if we take the guidance of the Holy Scriptures, even to the golden rule, will not much of our race tensions and problems be solved? There are many things in the Bible that are dark and hidden to us. But as Mark Twain says, it is not these passages that trouble us, but the passages that are plainly written of returning good for evil, of praying for your enemies, of doing unto the other man as you would have him do unto you. These passages are where we failed and where we do not follow. By following Jesus, we shall come to the green pastures where our souls can be healed and restored, where we can be our true selves. We need the quiet times, my friends. In the seminary and in the pastorate, you will find life rushing in on you from all sides. And you'll need to let the shepherd lead you to the quiet periods where you can rest in his presence. I remember as a youth resisting stated times of prayer. I said, these are artificial. There are times I don't feel like praying, therefore I will not pray. And I confess this to Dr. Rufus Jones, the great Quaker leader. And Dr. Jones said, yes, I know how you feel. I often feel that way myself. But when I think at the close of a day, no matter how tired I am, there's been some goodness in the day that's helped me. There's been someone along the way that's refreshed me. And I want to thank God for them. I want to pray God to bless them. Then he says, when I'm honest to God and confess my weariness, confess my inattentiveness, I find I can pray by being honest and fair unto God. And then I learned from Michael Faraday. Once I read, when he was being honored by the Royal Society of Great Britain, that he had told them that this night would be his prayer meeting night. And he said, I do not like to keep God waiting. God has never kept me waiting. And I want to keep this hour with him. The night when they honored him and the tributes ran late, Michael Faraday slipped out to go to his church to pray. This was a trust that he had. This was one appointment that he would keep. Dr. Charles L. Alling, longtime pastor at Grace Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, in his book, All Things Are Possible Through Prayer, tells how he used to have to stop for 3 traffic lights from his house to his church. And he said this irritated him. He gunned his motor trying to get through them, and if he had to stop, he was fretted and ill about it. Until one day it occurred to him to use this time as prayer time. And he worked out a little devotional scheme. He said at the first stoplight, he thanked God for some blessing in the day before. At the second stoplight, he asked God for something he could do for him that day. Often we are asking God to help us do something, but ask God if there's something you can do for him. And then the third stoplight, to ask God, how can I do it for you? Dr. Allen tells that now, or he did when he lived in Atlanta, he said, now I slow down to get all 3 lights and feel cheated if I have to go through one. He changed an irritation into a green pasture by habit and training and discipline. He came to periods of refreshment and restoration. Hear me, fellow students. You must find little times and little periods like that tucked in a busy day, in a busy life, or your soul will be worn thin to breaking. needlessly. For 1 hour of prayer with God, 1 5-minute, 1 second of turning to Him can heal and restore and bless. We must live with God to know His voice, and in following His leading, shall we come to real living abundantly, eternally. Yes, like a shepherd, God will lead us, will protect us, will deliver us, will redeem us, will restore us, bringing us to our true being and letting us rest in His being. We stand. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all this day and forever.